Please be seated. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful anointing. Did y'all enjoy your workout for the first few songs? It's called time management, right? Praise the Lord. You know, I was very excited when I got to offer to speak tonight because, as you know, I love the United States military and what all it's done for this world. And I don't think it gets the credit it deserves. So today falls right in between Memorial Day and the anniversary of D-Day. And first of all, to any veterans here or on the internet, I want to say thank you from my heart. Because you put it all on the line. And I know some people didn't fight actually, but if you're in support, you still supported, you did your job, and that's what matters. And you know, God cares about everything that you do. And there's nothing that's unimportant that you do. And too many people take that for granted, that, oh, it's just a little thing. And it's not. I had three uncles that hit the battle of the beaches of Omaha. Love those guys. They're great guys. Two are in heaven now. But they did what they had to do, you know. In fact, I remember my Uncle Tom. He was a very gregarious guy. He was a lot of fun, you know. And one day I was reading the newspaper. And for those of you who are old enough to remember, there's a pitcher named Dwight Gooden. He played for one of the New York teams. And he was complaining about being 19 years old and making $90,000 every time he pitched a ball. And that there was so much pressure playing baseball in New York. So I'm reading the paper, and my uncle walks up and looks over my shoulder and says, "Pressure? Throwing a baseball, making millions of dollars? When I was his age, I was going to hit the beaches of Omaha. That's pressure." And he's right. My dad and I are very close, as most of you know. And I'm very honored that he fought the Japanese from Guadalcanal to Iwo Jima, Okinawa, Philippines. So every Memorial Day, it was our tradition to watch all the war movies. And we'd watch them together, and it just developed this bonding for us, you know. And one day we're watching Saving Private Ryan. And there's a scene in the opening scene where one guy pulls a pin on a hand grenade, and he tosses it to the next guy, and he pulls a pin. They both of them throw it at the same time. It's a really great shot. And my dad starts laughing. I says, "Dad, why are you laughing?" And, you know, Dad wore glasses. Whenever he looked over the tip of his glass, I knew I was going to get something good. He goes, "Son, do you really want me throwing you a live hand grenade?" "No, I don't think so, Dad." People of great courage. They call them the greatest generation for a reason. They went out of the Depression right into a world war. And the United States hasn't stopped doing what it's needed to do since then. But the world's changing. We don't talk about the heroes of the military. We got a guy who sticks his privates in his panties and puts on a dress. They call him courageous. Bruce Jenner's courageous because he can dress like a woman. I don't get that myself. Okay? But that's what this country's coming to. Yeah, you think back to World War II, and you got General Doolittle. Takes a group of airplanes. Too big for a carrier. Shouldn't have worked. They had to launch 200 miles before they were supposed to because they were spotted. He took those planes straight into the heart of Tokyo and hit the Japanese hard. And we told them that they were in for the fight that they didn't want to be into. They had attacked us. We retaliated. A humble man. He thought he was going to get court-martialed because he lost all of his airplanes. But what he did demoralized the Japanese and brought up the morale of the United States exponentially. His name was Doolittle. He should have changed it to Did Much. I mean, what courage that must have taken. But they did it. But what all those men did, and the women who supported them, doing the factory work, making the tanks, putting the bullets together, making sure everything worked perfectly. So when those guys were on the field, they had everything they needed to do. They were proactive. My challenge today is that the Christians are not. Christians are way too passive. We become the silent majority, and it's wrong. It's wrong that they say this country's not a Christian nation anymore and nobody said anything about it. We didn't. We didn't write our press. We didn't write, I'm as guilty. Don't misunderstand me. We cannot remain silent with the challenges that are coming up on us. We're in a war that's going to make World War II look like kindergarten playground. Tough times are coming. You've heard Pastor Josh talk about the end times coming. We're in for a fight. We must be proactive. We must get ready and do everything we can do. Now, I know that Satan's going to put in his Antichrist at some point in time, and we can't stop that. But in the meantime, we can do everything we can do to get as many people saved and as many people living the right way so that they can do what they need to do preparing for the end times. Amen? Okay. You know, only 10% of the Germans were Nazis. The silent majority did nothing. 60 million people were killed. In Russia, they killed another 20 million people, and the silent majority did nothing. In China, they killed another 70 million people, and the silent majority did nothing. And since 1971, what they call legalized abortions, and for anybody out there who's had an abortion, I know you've all repented. I know God has forgiven you. That's not what this is about. What I call the murder of the unborn, those seven men in black robes have now killed more people than Adolf Hitler. And the silent majority has done nothing. We haven't written our congressmen. We haven't gotten up and had other Christians get together and say, this is wrong. We need to stop this for moral reasons. We didn't. Karen and I were watching a movie made back in the 50s a while back. And in the middle of that movie, they're talking about Christ. And it's about old England and Prince Valiant days and so forth. And one guy says, Christ is our salvation right there in the movies. Today, if you say Jesus Christ on TV, they'd be so upset at you. They'd file all kinds of challenges against you. An athlete's not allowed to pray for his God if it's Christ. Now, if they bow down to Allah, nobody complains. There's something wrong with this picture. Okay? If you compare today to pre-World War II, at least in pre-World War II, we had England where we could go to and launch from there. England, London, is now under Muslim control. On the side of the buses, it now says, welcome Allah, or something, blessing Allah, or worship Allah, or something. And they're told they can't talk about Christ in England. It's wrong. And it's coming here. And our job is to do what we can do to at least slow it down as much as possible, to give more people more time to prepare for the end times. Ten 10% of the Germans were Nazis. 15 to 25% of the Muslims are considered radical. That's 300 to 500 million. That's more than the population of the United States. That's an awesome number. And they're learning how to fight better. And that's a problem. Now, the point about this here, I'm going to lighten this up a little bit. I know I've been hitting kind of hard on this, is we need to do something. Now, for those of you who are under the age of 30, this is how we used to look at a Bible. That was a joke. But if you do this, or go on your electronic one and start at Genesis, No, it's not in there. Oh, it's not in Exodus. No, it's not in Numbers, and it's not in Deuteronomy, and it's not in Samuel, and it's not in Nehemiah, it's not in the Psalms. And go to the New Testament, it's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or all the way to Revelation. There's nowhere in here where it says be passive. I don't see it. I see take dominion. I see you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I see go into all countries and make disciples. And I see we'll do greater works than Jesus. And that means that according to our teachings here of Mark 11:24, there's nothing for us to be afraid of. Because with God on our side, we're going to have victories here. With God on our side, you're going to see a tide change. Because we're going to invoke what we learn here at ABC, and we're going to start really doing it because it needs to be done. Now, look at the book of Matthew where they talk about the rich man was giving the, I think it was 5, 2, and 1 amounts of silver to his servants. And he comes back to the first one who used the silver wisely and doubled it, and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he goes to the second one, and he doubled it, and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he goes to the third one and says, you wicked, lazy servant. You didn't use my commodity that I gave you to the best of your ability. You didn't use it even to a little bit. Now, we all have the same commodity. We've got a commodity that's more precious than gold, silver, rubies, diamonds. It's more precious than that. And my point here today is we need to use that commodity to the best of our ability. Everybody is given 168 hours every single week. My challenge of you is to look at your hours this week and decide how you can do to make something a little better next week. I'm not saying conquer the world in 1 week, but do not beget small beginnings. Can you write a congressman about something? Can you spend more time praying against some ISIS challenges? Now, under Pastor Joshua's guidance, with some prayers, we brought down Boko Haram over in Africa. So it works. We need to use our tools to do what we need to do to set up for the end times. We cannot be passive anymore. We've got to be proactive. Now, every day, I'm going to ask everybody here, everybody on the internet, to ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do for you today? What do you want me to do? Because everybody here can do something. Some people may need to make a little more money and give it to the church or to give to something that can bless somebody to help them. Somebody may just need to spend more time praying for a specific issue. But everybody here can do something. And ask the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit starts leading you, it may seem like a very small thing. But it's not to God. Everything is important to God. Just like everything was important to supply the needs of the military. Every piece of information that goes back to intelligence is important. Now, my uncle was at the Battle of the Bulge. Got the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star. God bless him. One of the guys from our hometown was also in his same company or division. I forget what it was, how they called it back then. And this guy was a cook. And as far as I know, this guy never fired a shot. He said if he was ordered to be a cook, he was going to be the best cook he could be for those guys who came back in. And my uncle said one of the best things about going out in the military when he came back in, he had really good food because Mr. Colworth was cooking it for him. That food meant a lot to those guys on patrol. A good hot meal coming back. You know, in the natural things, it's not like, you know, going up and taking on the tank and winning the Congressional Medal of Honor and things like that. But you know what? To those guys who came back in every single day, day after day after day, he made sure they had something decent to eat. And they appreciated it. Only the Holy Spirit will tell you what you have to do. But please listen to him and do it. And it's not going to be too hard for you For there's nothing we cannot do without Christ. Okay. I want everybody here, when they stand before Jesus, to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I don't want to be the one standing before him and saying, "I could have done some more, but I didn't." And I don't mean to be a downer tonight, but I want to be a wake-up call that if you don't prepare now, it may be too late in the future, because times are closing in quickly upon all of us. Amen? For example, I just found out today that Senator Boxer is retiring. There's going to be a new U.S. Senator. We need to pray in the right U.S. Senator for California. That is 1% of the Senate. That's huge. How many votes could be changed by one vote of the Senate? A lot of them. A lot of them teeter back and forth. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying pray in the right person. Okay? I don't know what God has for you, but I'm encourage you. Spend a few minutes in the morning, tomorrow morning, and ask the Holy Spirit, "What do you want me to do today?" And follow up on it. For every little detail matters. Amen? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. That was faster than I thought it was going to be. But God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.